buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing the show on The Other Side of the Glass, and together we welcome you to The Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, January 17th. Hope you're having a good week so far. Hope you had, if you had a long weekend, hope it was a good one for you. Our hour today, as usual, filled with content. We'll get an update on the Pima Community College situation. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman is waiting in the wings. He'll be along at about 12:20, and the market's a little bit on the downside today. And then at 12:30 or so, we spend a half an hour with United States Representative Martha McSally. So we have a very full hour indeed. In 2015, the Higher Learning Commission removed Pima Community College from 2 years of probation and placed it on the lesser sanction of what is termed on notice. Last month, the Higher Learning Commission recommended that the college be taken off notice in 10 of the 11 areas of concern. The college remains on notice in that 11th area for more, about 6 months or so, to allow for the implementation of a few final corrective actions. The HLC is one of several regional and national organizations that accredit institutions of higher learning, such as Pima Community College. The accreditation is important because without it, the institution cannot distribute federal financial aid from the U.S. Department of Education. With me in studio, Dr. Dolores Duran-Cerda, the Executive Vice Chancellor and the Provost, Acting Provost, which makes her the college Chief Academic Officer, and this whole accreditation right now is under her purview. Dr. Duran-Cerda, thank you very much for being with us.
Good afternoon, Bill. It's a pleasure being here. Thank you for inviting me.
Now, as I mentioned in that introduction, there's this 11th area of concern. What is that area?
The 11th area of concern is part of Criterion 4. So the HLC has five criteria, and Criterion 4, core component 4B, is the one that's of concern. So we, as you stated, there were 11 items that were of concern. We're off sanction on 10 of them. But one of them is dealing with assessment in student learning. And this is the one that the commission felt that they wanted to make sure, actually the peer reviewers, that we followed up on what we stated we were going to do in the notice report that we submitted this summer. And what we said is that we were going to hire a director of assessment. And fortunately, we have very good news. We have hired that person.
Good.
Yes, and this person is homegrown from Pima Community College. Her name is Wendy Weeks, and she's been a faculty member and she's had other positions in sciences. She's been with the college over 20 years.
So she's on board the team right now.
She is, as effective January the 3rd.
Okay.
And she was, previous to this position, she was the Student Learning Outcomes Coordinator. So she's been working closely with faculty and with staff, but mostly faculty, in making sure that we are fulfilling our student learning outcomes in the classroom.
So let's look now at generally at these 11 areas. Overall, would you say you were very happy with this report that came
Yes.
in a couple of weeks ago?
Absolutely. We're very, very happy. We're proud of what we have accomplished. It's been, as you know, a very trying period. We were put on probation in April of 2013, and then in March of 2015, that was lifted, and we were put on a lesser sanction on notice. But we have been working very, very hard, and that's the faculty, the staff, and administrators, and community members have been very, very supportive of our efforts.
Would you like to clarify right now this whole idea? There's some people thinking, oh, Pima's on probation.
Yes.
When you hear that, what do you have to say to the listener?
Thank you for asking me that question. I would like to clarify that Pima College is no longer on probation, and we have been put on a lesser notice of a lesser sanction called notice, and this means we're fully accredited. We're able to disperse federal financial aid. courses can transfer to the different universities. They're in one area, we're at risk of being in non-compliance. But as I said, we were almost off completely of notice, but the peer reviewers wanted to make sure we followed through. As I mentioned, the director of assessment, we also had stated that we were going to hire a research analyst that would report directly to this director of assessment. And that has been done. The position has been offered to someone externally, and we're just waiting on the reference checks. So that's almost done. What they would like for us to do as part of their recommendation, and that's why they've extended the notice for 6 months, is by September 1st, we're supposed to write a report, an interim report, on the development or updates of the director of assessment hire, the research analyst hire, their goals, that we know what their goals and strategies are, and evidence that they've done this. So we're in really good shape. This was the only item that was of concern for them, and we're very proud of where we are.
Talk a little bit about the timetable. So when now would you expect to hear from the Higher Learning Commission? What is the next step?
Sure. So what we're waiting now is there's going to be the Board of Trustees meeting in February, probably late February, and they will decide there what our official status is. So they may follow what the recommendations were from the peer reviewers, and that is to extend the sanction of notice for the one area of concern. And they may disagree, so we'll find out probably in early March. And right now, what happened right before the winter break, we received the draft report from the peer reviewers. As when they came, they visited us, they talked to several people within the college and outside of the college, they read our report, they based their recommendations on that. And then what we needed to do was review their report and check for facts of error. So right before the holidays, we submitted it back to the peer reviewers, and they're reviewing it along with the commission, the HLC. And then anytime now in the next couple of weeks, we will be getting the final draft of their report. And then we agree or disagree or any other, you know, facts of error, tweaking needed. And then it goes to the Board of Trustees in February.
My guest is Dr. Dolores Duran-Cerda, the Executive Vice Chancellor and the Acting Provost at Pima Community College. All right, let's hope this is all going to be in the rearview mirror in a couple of months. What now would you like to see? How do you want to see Pima move forward? Because this looks like this is going to be hopefully old news soon. So
yes.
What do you want to see the college do here to move forward?
Well, this has been our priority with the college for several years now. And with this, if we get completely off sanction, we will be able to proceed with increasing our enrollment, in making sure our programs are there's a curricular redesign, because there have been basically eight generations of community colleges. There's been an evolution. And Pima, unfortunately, has been kind of stuck in one of them, and we need to catch up to all the other community colleges in the nation. Starting in, it was 1901, Joliet Junior College, that's the first community college, and then in 1947, the Truman Commission Report, which was really the one that made community colleges in the country grow, and since then there have been evolutions. What we're in right now is what people refer to as a completion agenda generation. So we need to make sure, of course, we're open access, we're affordable, we're convenient, but we need to make sure that our students are completing their goals, be it a certificate, an AA, or transferring. We need to make sure that we do that and that we're tracking it, that we know that they're getting a job, that we know that they're graduating. And this is something that we haven't done in the past or as thoroughly. So we're in this mode called continuous improvement. And it's not just a matter of checking the box, okay, now we're in compliance with the Higher Learning Commission. No, we really want to do what's best for our students and their success. And that means our faculty working together, along with administrators and staff with advising. We're ramping up our new advising, academic advising model, where there'll be assigned advisors. So with each discipline, there'll be an advisor, like in science, in education, in math, and this advisor will be connected to a student, and that student will have a face and a person to come to instead of randomly, which has been very helpful too. But I think we need to focus on guiding our students into a pathway also for their education.
It's like a total reset for this university.
It is. It is.
For the college, a whole reset for Pima Community College.
Exactly.
Which is a good thing.
It is. And we've been through an administrative reorg, and it's not just Pima Community College. I belong to this cohort of new provosts or acting provosts.
Yeah.
And there are about 50 of us from across the nation, colleges, universities, and 15 of them are going through reorgs. Also, and they also are experiencing low enrollment.
So it's not unique to what's going on to Pima.
Exactly,
Pima's.
Right.
This is happening in other places.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then we're also dealing with federal regulations, and we just have to be mindful of those parameters and still focus on our goal of student success.
You said that Joliet, Illinois was the first Pima?
Yes, the first community college.
My home state of Illinois. Yeah,
there you go.
I picked up on that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Dolores Duran-Serta with us, the Executive Vice Chancellor and the Acting Provost. Probably if people want more information, go to the Pima website, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
And also they can talk to me, email me. We have a web page on accreditation, and there's a link there or an email address on accreditation questions that people are welcome to write, and I'll be answering, or our AVC for accreditation can answer as well.
Pima.edu.
There you
That'll
go. Yes.
You there. Thank you very much. Have a great week.
Thank you. And today's the first day of classes, so we're very excited.
All right. Back to school. Okay. 12:16 now on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, is on deck. We're next.
Five Star is going greener. In our efforts to stay environmentally friendly, we are going paperless. When you call us, you give us your name, your phone number, and your address, and your email address. You can now get your invoices by email, your statements, your receipts, and even appointment reminders. So call 5-Star Termite and Pest Control at 886-0045 and help us save the trees.
We know what bugs you.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you? How's your week going?
Well, the week is going fine, and it's Tuesday. The stock market's down.
Oh, don't tell me. Oh, boy.
Yeah, the market's down by 50 points right now, so it's going in the wrong direction.
No, going south. But it's been sort of a seesaw the last week or so, maybe longer.
Actually, since the beginning of the year, the irrational exuberance that was the Trump effect after the election petered out, and now what we have is a jagged line that is mostly flat.
How are we doing with mutual funds?
Well,
So many of our listeners have them, and they probably are wondering, well, what kind of year was it last year for mutual?
The mutual fund year was, depending upon what mutual funds you owned and what sectors you were in, was, as it turned out, especially because of the about 3% bump in the last quarter, turned out to be a pretty good year for most equity mutual funds. Some sectors outperformed others. The sectors that did best in the fourth quarter were those that were anticipating benefiting from the policies
infrastructure
that had been announced by the Trump campaign. So, for instance, financials were up 20% for the year, of which 19% of that came in the fourth quarter.
New York Times did a beautiful job over the weekend kind of reviewing, didn't they, the mutual funds?
Well, you know, New York Times has daily a business section that I believe is as good as the Wall Street Journal's. And then on Sunday, they have a business section that is one of the most readable and accessible in the country, I think. You know, only the London Times, I think, does a better job. But once a year, when you'd expect, in January, the New York Times does their annual summaries. And this past Sunday, there was a kind of a section two of the business section, which talked about mutual funds and ETFs.
They have some good advice for us?
Well, they did. They are grappling with the same kinds of problems that the rest of us in this community, in this industry, are grappling with. What is going to happen? Remember, we're 7 years into an expansion. Now, that is the average expansion is only 5 years. But the argument is that expansions don't stop and move toward recession because of longevity. There's normally something else that kicks it off. And right now, we can't see what that might be other than the uncertainty of the policies that we'll see moving forward. But there's no bubbles ready to burst or trade wars or anything like that going on. That said, we are about half the growth rate into this expansion, 7-year expansion, that we would expect in an expansion. So we've had about 2% average growth rate for 7 years. We would have expected by this time to be about 50% more than that. And so that says that to the extent that equities follow the GDP growth in terms of how they react to growth, and equities, of course, are a leading indicator, that says that there's more room. There's more room for equities to expand before we would likely see a pullback in the economy. But the articles in the Times and elsewhere are really wondering about the cumulative effect of upsetting what has been a pretty balanced set of policies. So if we get tax reform, for instance, tax reform that would lower the corporate income tax rate, eliminate a lot of deductions and exclusions that businesses can take, and make it harder for businesses to get out of paying their taxes, that could bring a lot of money into the economy, especially if it is kind of tied to the idea of renationalizing or repatriating the money that has been kind of stored offshore because of the very high U.S. tax rate currently at 35% for corporations. That could bring $1 trillion back into the U.S. economy.
Yeah, money has been parked overseas.
It has been parked overseas. Mm-hmm. Now, there's already $1 trillion sitting on the sidelines here in the U.S., and it's not being reinvested in factories and growth because the U.S. economy has slowed down in terms of consumption. And so if there's demand that is not there, that is not being met, you would expect investment on the part of corporations. But that's not happening, not to the extent that we want it to happen. There's also the problem with the high value of the dollar vis-a-vis the euro and the British pound, which is hurting our exports. So it's not clear what would happen if all of that money came back into the States. Would it simply be used to buy back shares? Would it be used to deflate the economy? There are so many ways. Having that money just sitting there, not invested, would not necessarily be a good thing and would add to uncertainty. We also have this idea that there's going to be some investment in infrastructure. The problem is there's no money in the budget for that expansion. So we wonder where that would come from.
So right now that's all talk.
Right now it's all talk. Mm. They need to be putting together plans for that. Mm. But, this is a very highly politicized environment.
And this talk about possible trade wars, that cannot help the market.
That does not help the market. And quite frankly, every time the president-elect singles out a company or a sector for his, three in the morning abuse, that has an effect on that company's.
BMW got hit.
Oh, got something. Hit tremendously. Now, BMW struck back.
Yeah.
they hit back. Of course, they don't live here. Mm-hmm. They do manufacture some here. But they basically said, get your manufacturing standards up to par, and we'll be happy to manufacture more stuff in the U.S. So they were not very kind, or they didn't take very kindly to that criticism. Now, BMW is just having a wonderful decade in terms of the demand for their cars, so they can be a little cocky.
Anyway, so there are lots of questions here as we have the big transition this week.
And for people whose portfolios are balanced toward more fixed income and less volatility, the picture is equally murky because what we're seeing is a decade or more of bond growth is now being kind of tamped down by what the Fed has been doing and trying to move toward more normalized interest rates in the U.S. And we're getting some indications now that Janet Yellen is looking at three interest rate increases rather than one or two in this current year. That's going to have the effect of reducing the price of bonds, even though the interest rates would go up. And the way that works is the longer the duration, the longer term bonds, the swings are greater. Now, the interest rates are also greater. So the investment outlook for bonds right now is something to be very cautious about. You need to really check closely with your advisor before making any definitive movements in your allocation. The need to hedge, the need to have a good mix of duration, short and long term, to have high quality, high yield. And you say that's an oxymoron. Mm-hmm. How could you have high quality, high yield? Well, we're talking about double B and B rated bonds in these portfolios to get above market returns, but at the same time, keep volatility to a minimum.
Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, will look for you, and we can get a link to you at buckmastershow.com.
Best way to get there.
And you would be happy to talk to any of our listeners. Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great week. You too.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review, plus Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster coming up Wednesday at noon, the monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine, plus a preview of the Tucson Desert Song Festival. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and we're always on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Tuesday edition. Green Things at 3384 East River Road, one of our fine sponsors, wants me to remind you, our fine listeners, about their free workshop Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. Different gardening topics every week. Great gardening information on their beautiful facility just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out greenthingsaz.com. It is a great place for all of your gardening needs. Let's go now on the live line to Martha McSally, United States Representative, Republican, representing the 2nd Congressional District of Arizona. Congresswoman McSally, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you? Happy New Year.
Hey, happy yeah. New Year to you. We have the big inauguration coming up on Friday. And what do you expect out of all of this?
Well, the actual inauguration ceremony, it's the peaceful transfer of power that is certainly a foundation of the democratic principles of our country. You know, I've been all over the world, and there's many nations that don't have that. And I think it's an honor to be able to be there. A number of my constituents are going to be flying out for it. I think it's going to be pouring rain from the forecast. This is a difficult election year on many counts. But in the end, what sets us apart often from many nations around the world is that we do lay down our arms and unite where we can and move forward. And the peaceful transfer of power is something I look forward to attending.
You know, we have such a divided nation right now. And I'm just curious, how about some of these cabinet appointments? Are you on board with them? What do you think overall of Mr. Trump's appointments?
Well, you know, the Constitution is pretty clear that, the president-elect does get to nominate who he wants for his team in the executive branch with the advice and consent of the Senate to vet them and, make sure there's no red flag issues. People, maybe as you look at one or the other, you can have some concerns or disagreements about his selections, but ultimately, you know, the executive branch has its own authority, and if they make it through that vetting process in the Senate, we'll see how things move, going forward. But really, the House doesn't have any formal role related to that. And you may have an opinion, or you may, wonder or think that maybe a different person should have been selected. Any of us could as citizens. But ultimately, it is the prerogative of the executive to, pick his team to execute his constitutional responsibilities.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Marion has been patiently waiting on hold. I believe she wants to talk about the Affordable Care Act. Hello, Marion. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Yes, I wanted to ask you, Representative McSally, you voted to take the first step to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and it doesn't appear to be any plan in place, although the president-elect has promised a plan. We haven't seen any information about it. You also don't have a town hall scheduled to listen to your constituents, although I was told that you have a teletown hall, but you control the questions that get asked.
Okay. Two questions there about what's going to replace the Affordable Care Act. Why don't we begin with that one?
Sure. Bill, and thanks for the question, Marion. Look, the Affordable Care Act is collapsing under its own weight. And if we just sit by and watch it continue to collapse, more and more people are going to be hurt from the increasing premiums, cancellation of insurance, unaffordable costs. We're seeing in Arizona some of the highest increases in premiums, over 100% for companies that are in the marketplace on the exchange. And 14 out of 15 counties in Arizona only have one choice. That's not affordable. And I understand that several of my constituents have now, because of the Medicaid expansion or because of the subsidies, have been able to get access to some level of insurance where they didn't have before. But my focus is, as we're moving forward, we can't continue to have this not working, disastrous Affordable Care Act continue to hurt people around the country and in our community. But we need to have a thoughtful transition that doesn't hurt people who are able to gain access to insurance through these various approaches as we're moving forward. So the first step we voted on last week was more of a procedural step. The next one is going to be probably, my guess would be earliest, would be February, which addresses some of the few things that we can address that are harmful to people. And as we move forward with a new HHS secretary and work towards that replacement, which is going to provide more choice and hopefully drive the cost of healthcare down, because the Affordable Care Act has only been driving those costs up. I've been meeting with the leadership on the Republican side throughout the last few weeks to make sure that they understand that, hey, although we're addressing it and fixing it for people that are being harmed deeply, we've got to make sure that there is continuity and certainty for individuals that have had access to the Medicare expansion and the subsidies. We're looking at probably hopefully I'm advocating for a 3-year transition period as we work towards working with the states and the governors to how to address some of these issues and to provide a better solution that includes things like association-based health plans, where small businesses can get health plans through their associations, or refundable tax credits for individuals, still keeping pre-existing conditions being able to be covered, kids being able to stay on their parents' insurance till they're 26. All these things are important elements moving forward, but the model of how the Obamacare was put into place, it's not working. So we got to replace it. It's got to be thoughtful. These are complex issues, and we've got to do it in a way that provides some predictability and certainty for those who have gotten access to health care. But these insurance markets are collapsing right now, and we've got to basically rescue it.
All right. Part two of her question pertains to in-person town halls versus electronic town halls.
So, look, when I'm back here, Bill, I mean, you know that. I'm engaging all over the community. We've had events and, meetings and town halls across the community. I think I had about 30 last year. We have the teletown halls when I'm out of town. We are in session pretty much nearly every weekday, or we're traveling between now and Easter. So I'm doing everything I can, sitting down with individuals and thought leaders in the community. If I can't do it in person, we're doing some phone conference calls and town halls. I've been spending the last 2 years really meeting with constituents and thought leaders on the healthcare issue, whether it's the heads of the local hospitals or doctors and providers or individuals that are advocates on these issues to best understand what's going to work going forward, because what we have right now is simply not working. So I'm doing everything I can, working tirelessly to hear from my constituents. You can always give a call into our office. We've answered over 170,000 pieces of correspondence, people calling and emailing my office with their concerns. You can request a meeting. If I can't make it, we can have staff meet with you. I mean, there's a variety of different ways to get access. There is a time limitation, obviously, especially with all the times that we're in session in Congress in D.C., and that's where I need to be fighting for Southern Arizona.
Okay, let's go back to the live line. Our friend Jim is on the line. Jim Kelly, go ahead, Jim. You're with Representative McSally.
I represent McSally. First off, I do want to encourage that the law changes for association-based insurance programs, because that's so important to small businesses to be able to access the same kind of large group policies that, say, a Raytheon can, or the county or a school district can. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was block grants to community health and wellness centers like El Rio in Pima County. Can it be done at a county-by-county level and not just a state level. And I'm talking about block grants to cover either the uncoverable or those who don't have the money to afford coverage themselves.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Thanks for those ideas. And I don't know if you heard, but I was talking previously, association-based health plans are definitely a part of our vision going forward. Again, so small businesses have the opportunity to pool with other businesses as part of an association they belong to that represents small businesses. And that helps to really balance out the pool to provide affordable insurance for what works for you. And I'll look into the idea about block grants to counties. I mean, right now we are looking at a lot about block grants to states to include, you know, again, reforms of things like the Medicaid program. The closer you can get to where things are managed, the more efficient they're going to be in general. And this, you know, top-down bureaucratic run, one-size-fits-all coming out of Washington, D.C., doesn't understand what we need here in Arizona or southern Arizona. I'm a big fan of community health centers. I've gotten an award from them for being a champion of community health centers, advocating for increased funding. They really do a great job all over our community, providing care at all ends. I mean, to include taking private insurance. And so any model that equips and helps them and also increases access to insurance that's more affordable for others is one that I definitely will advocate for. So thanks for the idea about the counties. We'll look into it.
All right. Before we take the break, David has been waiting. David, go ahead. You're with Congresswoman McSally.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you so much, Congresswoman McSally. I did vote for you, and I did. I do love a lot of what you do for your constituents in the community. My big hot button issue is my daughter has a tree nut allergy, and I'm really hoping to get some serious advocacy to get the FDA to at least accept a generic EpiPen injector for trials, which it appears that there is a lot of collusion between government and the FDA to prevent that from happening so that Mylan can continue to keep us from getting access to EpiPens by now forcing them to be in a two-pack per box, and it's forcing
right.
four to have
okay.
to pay.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, David. This is definitely one that's gotten a lot of people's attention. Look, I carry an EpiPen with me everywhere I go as well, and you know, I've got some allergy issues as well. So this touches many families, and we've got to do everything we can to break through the regulatory difficulties, not just for EpiPen, where we're seeing that there's not competition to help drive that price down. I'm not on the committees that are addressing that issue in detail, but I have heard from constituents, obviously the unaffordable prices going up and trying to bring in competition. There is another company that has come in at a lower price or be offering at a lower price, and I need to follow up on what the status of that is. I was just reading about that in the last week. So if you want to follow up with my office, we can get back to you about the specifics on where we are with that competition. And obviously with a change in administration, with new officials coming in at all levels, I think there's going to be a fresh look taken at. Obviously, we support more competition and driving the price okay. down, and we need to figure out the best way to do that while keeping our constituents safe.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, accountability of border programs. That will be next with Congresswoman Martha McSally. But first, let's hear from the fine sponsors that make the Buckmaster Show possible. Be right back.
At the Humane Society of Southern Arizona, we've been caring for homeless pets for over 72 years. But as we've grown, our campus hasn't, and our pets and staff are crowded in run-down, dilapidated buildings. The need for a new campus is critical. The homeless pets in our care need healthier, stress-free space, and we need room to expand the important work of adoption and education. Please help us build our own forever home. Visit hssaz.org and donate today, because we're all in this together.
Traveling is more than just a flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours' drive east of Tucson. What a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. Grant County is that southwestern portion of New Mexico. So much to do in historic Silver City. The full listing of the many recreation activities and several dozen great places to stay. If you're looking for a nice weekend getaway, why not check out southwestnewmexico.org. With us on the live line, United States Representative District 2 of Arizona, Martha McSally. Congresswoman, you and Senator McCain teaming up to introduce legislation last week, I believe, to improve accountability of border programs. What's that all about?
Well, Bill, what we've had is a number of failed programs intended to help secure our border in the past, billions of dollars that were wasted. And part of it is because they don't have a good, as they cobbled together Homeland Security after 9/11, they don't have good procurement processes, acquisition systems in place to provide oversight, to make them come up with an acquisition plan, to have some checks along the way, testing and evaluation, the kind of things that we're pretty used to in the Pentagon when we're testing some sort of new equipment and acquiring it. And so a lot of taxpayer money has been wasted, and we've got to be good stewards of that money. So this bill simply requires that if they have a new program that they're investing in, that they have to meet, if it's above a certain threshold, it has to meet certain baselines, they have to have a plan. And this is common sense. There's got to be checks and accountability and oversight. and a testing program along the way so that we can make sure that it's meeting its requirements and is going to deliver what we've asked it to deliver. This is a bill that I introduced in the last Congress. It made it out of committee, made it through the House, but it did not make it through the Senate and signed into law. It was, I want to say, it was unanimous or nearly unanimous. This is a bipartisan issue, and so we're reintroducing it and hoping to be able to push it this time a little bit further and get it to be part of, again, good oversight of border technology programs.
How about for the memorial here in Tucson? You teamed up with some other Arizona representatives to make sure the Park Service recognizes the memorial here in Tucson.
Right. So what we have is there's a January 8th Foundation that has been working as a 501c3 nonprofit, working over the last several years. They've got a board of individuals in our community to finalize a plan for creating a memorial for the January 8th victims here. It's going to be privately funded to construct a memorial and to operate and maintain the memorial. But this is the first time that we had a member of Congress that had an assassination attempt while she was meeting with her constituents, and the first time we've had a congressional staffer who was murdered in the line of duty, and that's Gabe Zimmerman. And so that makes this not just a local memorial. This makes it a national memorial. This, to me, is an attack on the foundations of a democratic country, the principles that we have of a representative government where you're engaging with your constituents like I do when I'm back in the community, and this was an assault on that. And so for that reason, we believe that this is of national, significance, and therefore it's my legislation has it become an affiliated area with the National Park Service. That allows it to be advertised and listed when someone's looking, hey, I want to come to Arizona. I want to look at what national parks are here. The January 8th memorial will be listed, and information about it will be available for them to visit. And so that's why they call it an affiliated area. And I know there's some people who have misread or misunderstood thinking that that means we're, the Park Service is going to be paying for it or running it. That's not the case. We already have limited resources for the parks that we have around the country, and those guys are underfunded for things like the Grand Canyon and other parks that we have. But this is a win-win where we found common ground across Democrats and Republicans and across in both the House and the Senate to be able to elevate this to national level as an affiliated area.
Martha McSally with us on the Buckmaster Show, and as the congressman knows very well, when there is a change in administration, other foreign powers like to test the United States. Where do you see the trouble spots? Perhaps North Korea being one? Certainly ISIS is not going away either.
Right. Well, I think there's many of them. As I look around the world, separate from the change in administration, I mean, we've got China continuing to exert power by creating islands where they didn't exist in the South China Sea and then stationing military equipment there. That is deeply troublesome. The amount of commerce and the shipping lanes that go through that area is over 50% of the world's commerce. And so that's a trouble spot. North Korea, for sure, a rogue nation, nuclear capabilities. I would expect them to continue to move forward and test and see what the new administration, how they're going to deal with them. Iran, a state sponsor of terror, exporting conventional terror around the world, creating harassing attacks even on Navy ships, going through the Straits of Hormuz, and also they're potentially marching towards a patient path to a nuclear bomb and potentially cheating on that, which is in their DNA. So I would see Iran potentially trying to see what the new administration is going to look like. And then for sure, Russia. Russia has invaded its neighbors with impunity. It's been involved in the Middle East, not for good, in the Syria conflict and in other ways. And so I would expect to see some potential tests coming from a number of those different actors, including ISIS and its global terrorist approach.
What's latest on the A-10 and preserving the training of the A-10 here in Tucson?
Well, the A-10, we've been successful to have it fully funded again this year. And in this year's defense bill that was signed into law right before the new year, I inserted some language that said they can't retire one more A-10 until there's a fly-off competition between the F-35 and the A-10 side-by-side in close air support and combat search and rescue. So they have to do that full testing and evaluation, deliver a full report to Congress, and then do another study as to whether there will be an increased risk in those missions if the F-35 replaces the A-10. That's going to give us some time. We're going to continue to work with the incoming administration, Secretary of Defense, and whenever we get a new Secretary of the Air Force. Our intent is to protect and preserve this mission until there's a suitable tested replacement. I personally don't think that's the F-35. I do believe we need a fifth-generation fighter like the F-35, but not for the specific missions that the A-10 does. It's like asking a pickup truck, you know, or a Ferrari to do what a pickup truck does. It just doesn't work. So right. I'd like to, my focus is to relieve the F-35 from the requirement to replace the A-10 as we look toward a suitable replacement that may be an upgraded A-10 or a follow-on AX. Of some sort.
All right, Representative McSally, good speaking with you, and good luck with
the new session.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Martha McSally with us on the Buckmaster Show coming up this afternoon. It is Mike Check with Mr. Mike Shaw and Ray Allen ably assisting Mike to put together a really good hour. Coming up, they're going to talk about water today from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson goes from 6 to 9. The Talking Culture Show, doing very well for us here at KVOI, is on from 9 to 10. And then a show that I hope is doing very well, I think it is, the Buckmaster Show here at 12:04, midweek edition. Always fun when Dr. Mazes joins us from the Center for Integrated Medicine. That's on schedule for tomorrow. Till then, Ray wishes you, and so do I, a great afternoon and evening.